Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We're going to continue teaching. In fact, today's teaching, we'll finish up what we started yesterday about God wanting you to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're titling it, Pick Up Your Leadership Mantle. We want you to make no mistake, God created you to be a leader. You can also know the enemy has used and is continuing to use some clever tactics to keep you from realizing that you are a leader. Sadly, many believers allow him to get away with this deadly deception. You may never have thought of yourself as a leader, and truthfully, what you think will hinder what you accomplish. The real question is, what does God think about you being a leader? How does God see you? Ephesians 2:10, New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece. Doesn't that sound like, it doesn't sound like you're a failure, a has-been or never was? See, not only are you God's masterpiece, but he has plans for you. God has a unique ability to make something out of nothing. That's what he'll do with you if you just let him. He sees leadership potential in you. That's why you're his masterpiece.
Amen.
Now, let's do a brief review before we conclude the seven reasons you're a leader.
Number one, confident of who you are in Christ. Confidence will take you so many more places that doubt never will. Confidence in our Heavenly Father makes you a winner in life, no matter what you're facing. 1 John 5:15 Message Bible says, and if we're confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours.
Hallelujah.
That ought to make you shout.
Hallelujah.
We must have confidence in the one who gives us life and provides the opportunity for us to live eternally and abundantly. Psalm 53:6, Classic Amplified. David is speaking. He goes, what time I am afraid, I will have confidence in and put my trust and reliance in you. In every circumstance, terrific or trying, our confidence needs to always be in the Lord our God.
Amen. Number two, humble. Philippians 2:3, Classic Amplified Bible. Do nothing from factional motives, though contentiousness, strife, selfishness are for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in this phrase. This feeling significant, let me say it this way, in the presence of the Lord. And he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make you and your lives significant.
The Bible says the key to making your life significant is to humble yourself. Think of that. To recognize that you can do nothing in and of ourselves. But with God, we can do anything. The word humble in Strong's Concordance means to behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of haughtiness, and to bring down into submission one's pride. Humility, according to the Herring Unabridged Dictionary, not really published yet, means to recognize that everything you have or hope to have is possible because of the greater one who lives in you and your obedience to what God says. Now let's pick up where we left off yesterday. Number three is enthusiastic. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American poet, said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." You could actually say that. But listen to this. This is so good. Literally, enthusiasm means God within. Now that's pretty powerful. A leader needs to set a standard. They need to be enthusiastic about what they're doing, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Otherwise, how can they lead? Dale Carnegie, the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, said, "Act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic." An effective leader knows that his or her enthusiasm is contagious and will spread like an epidemic, excuse me, to those who work with them. In Ephesians 6:7, it says in the New Living Translation, "Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people." One of the greatest revelations you can ever receive is that you're working for the Lord and not the man. That, I'm telling you, I'm going to preach one of these days. It's just about all I can. I mean, I could preach on what happened to me and how the Holy Spirit took me through this at a very young age, and it changed my entire perspective. And once your perspective is changed, you'll automatically increase your desire, sharpen your attitude toward work and toward life. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "It's faith in something and enthusiasm for something that makes a life worth living." Number four is strong character qualities. One of the most highly valued character qualities is that of integrity, right, babe?
Absolutely. Your integrity is something that you can't help. It'll be brought to you, well, it'll be brought to light, whether you like it or not. And truthfully, whether you lie about it or not. You will never find a person of integrity living without hope. Job 4:6, New Living Translation. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? A person of integrity will hold fast to their convictions, never wavering, even at the first sight of conflict. And one more thing. We feel the need to bring clarity to Proverbs 28:6, Classic Amplified, because it's frequently misinterpreted. The verse says, "Better is the poor man who walks in integrity than he who willfully goes in double and wrong ways, though he is rich." Notice the last part of that verse says, "though he is rich." This scripture is a condemnation of wickedness, not wealth. It's not the fact that a person is rich, but the wickedness of their heart that is the focus of this verse. Money brings out who people are on the inside.
That is so true.
The verse does not say that it's better to be poor. It says it's better to see a poor person who walks in integrity to see a rich person who is evil. Mm. It's the character, here now, it's the character of a person's heart. It's the character of a person's heart and not the balance in their checkbook or the lack of that determines who they are.
That's it. Number five, forgiveness. A leader understands that he or she can create no room in their hearts for a bunch of unforgiveness, because it will totally affect their effectiveness. The leader understands that in order to win a battle, they must not be cut off from their supply lines.
So true.
Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If you have offense against someone, God will not hear your prayers. That's what that scripture says. Thus, effectively cutting off your source of knowledge, wisdom, and everything else for the battle. Make no mistake about it. If you want to be an effective leader, you're going to make some people unhappy. It just happens. But if you harbor resentment against those who question your leadership or abilities, then your skills will be questioned. Colossians 3:13 in the New Living Translation says, "Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others."
Wow.
A good leader, whether of a large group or a community or even a family, will understand the importance of forgiveness.
So true. Number 6, good listener. A leader, whether in the home or the marketplace, learns the importance of listening before speaking. By listening and asking the right questions, you can better understand what motivates a person. James 1:19, Classic Amplified Bible. "Understand this, my beloved brethren, that every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry." The real measure of a leader is listening to other people talk, especially when they're discussing something, well, that you could care nothing about. When you learn to effectively listen, you'll receive benefits. James 1:25, Contemporary English Version. "But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey and don't just hear and forget." Get that? When you listen and obey, not just hear and forget, God will bless you in everything you do.
Number 7, does not accept the status quo. God is not, he just doesn't go for status quo. Make no mistake, God does not want you settling for it, just getting by, spinning your wheels, going nowhere. He wants waiting around for something to change when you could change it.
Yes.
He wants you to make the most of everything he's entrusted to you. He wants you to take initiative. A leader takes initiative. There was a gentleman years ago that had this hanging in his office. Initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it.
That's true.
A leader doesn't settle for what is instead of what can be.
That's good.
A leader is not satisfied with the way things are because he or she understands the word of God and what things can be. God wants his leaders feeding his sheep and not just when things are convenient. In John 21:17, Contemporary English Version, he points out that feeding and caring for his sheep is a way to improve our love for him. It says, Jesus asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him 3 times if he loved him. So he told him, "Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus replied, "Feed my sheep." A true leader loves those assigned to his or her care and trust and takes good care of them.
Absolutely. And that's how you pick up a leadership mantle.
That's it.
And do the things God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Well, join us again every morning at 8:30 Eastern. Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Hallelujah. It'll bless you. It really will.
And change your life.
No doubt about it. We get all kinds of testimonies.
Yeah, we love it.
We do. So until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.